Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Lord, be with you. Let us pray. O God, our teacher and guide, in the waters of baptism, you bring us to new birth to live as your children. Strengthen our faith in your promises, that by your Spirit we may lift up your life to all the world through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Would you carry the Bible, please, Evan?
Reading from Genesis. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks.
Let us pray Psalm 121 responsively. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where is my help to come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The Lord will not let your foot be moved, nor will the one who watches over you fall asleep. Behold, the keeper of Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will preserve you from all evil and will keep your life. The Lord will watch. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Romans. What are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something due. But to one who without works trusts him or justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. For the promise that he would inherit the earth did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings faith, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us, as it is written, "I have made you the father of many nations." In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to John. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, one of the most often quoted passages in the Bible, John 3:16, maybe the number is quoted more often than the actual verse. And it's interesting to me that this very famous, often quoted verse comes in a conversation that was meant to be secret. Nicodemus intended it to be private. He comes to Jesus at night. He wants to be anonymous. He had seen some miracles, and he recognized that Jesus is a teacher who had come from God. Nicodemus comes to Jesus because he knew that Jesus would have the answers. But Nicodemus doesn't know the questions. He wants to know how to win the prize. He wants to know how to achieve for himself that life that is beyond his grasp. He wants to know how to place himself in the presence of God. Jesus recognizes this searching, and he answers the questions Nicodemus doesn't know how to ask. Jesus told Nicodemus about being born in the wind, being born of the wind, being born of the Spirit. Jesus knew that the how-to questions were not the questions that Nicodemus really wanted answered. He belonged to this group called Seekers Anonymous, and that's what brought Nicodemus to Jesus. And those questions that brought him to Jesus were probably more along the line of, what am I here for? Why was I born? Where do I belong? How can I be at peace with who I am? Those are the kinds of questions that rumble in your head and keep you awake at night. But the only questions that Nicodemus knows how to ask are the questions that reflect a kind of an accounting view of life. Questions about balancing the ledger. Questions that reflect the notion that when things add up, that's when they can be true. But Jesus didn't deal with those questions. Instead, he tells Nicodemus a birth story, a story about being born of the Spirit. But Nicodemus is focused on the how-to questions, so he's confused. by Jesus' answer to him. He wants to line up the numbers and the arguments, and he wants to arrive at a clear conclusion. Then he could become a believer. Nicodemus assumed that this is how faith is born. This is how faith is sustained. As a result, Jesus' story about being born from above, being born of the wind, is completely incomprehensible to Nicodemus. Jesus told Nicodemus that faith is born of the Spirit, a spirit that blows like the wind, blows where it chooses, blows and we hear the sound of it, but we don't know where it comes from or where it's going. Jesus told Nicodemus that life in God's kingdom cannot be earned or achieved. One is simply born into God's kingdom. And living in the Spirit can't be controlled or charted or calculated. And all of this was very confusing to Nicodemus, who only knew how to trust in the security of rituals and doctrines and the moral instruction of the synagogue. In answer to Nicodemus's how-to questions, Jesus tells us birth story. Jesus told Nicodemus that to be born of the wind would mean allowing the Spirit to propel him along without any sense of holding on to those old securities. To be born of the wind would mean trusting God's love for him and for all people. Jesus never made the law easy, never lowered the bar, never said that the law didn't matter, but all of the concerns regarding morality are not part of that birth story. Nicodemus asked how to be born anew, born again, assuming that he needed to do something in order to cause this to happen. He had to do something. And Jesus said, it's not about what you do. You don't give birth to yourself. Any of you have anything to do with your birth? We don't have anything to do with our being born again either. You cannot give birth to yourself. God is the one who breathes life into you and gives you life from above. Jesus knew that this would seem very shaky to Nicodemus unless he trusted in the Spirit. And if he did, Nicodemus would find himself living a life eternally in God's presence. I don't think we're so different from Nicodemus. We come here week after week to proclaim who God is and ask God to make things right for us, to ask God to bring us into God's presence and give us eternal life. We are so much like Nicodemus. In the midst of our struggle to figure out how to win God's favor, God is giving us birth. God is laboring over us, breathing life into us, pushing us into a life lived in God's presence, an eternal life. We struggle for that prize, not recognizing that the prize has already been awarded to us. One of my seminary classmates writes a blog, and during the week when he's preparing his sermon, he puts up little thoughts that he's kind of working toward. And he had this quote on Monday. I thought was pretty, I didn't know what it meant on Monday. I hadn't read the scripture yet. People often come to church seeking an epidural to numb pain. But church is more like a midwife that encourages you and sits with you through the pain and then calls us to push go out into the world. Those of you who have given birth, imagine that. That this is how God is with us, encouraging us to bring to birth that which God has already created, to push us out to live that spirit life. When Nicodemus began to allow himself to be born of the wind, things changed for him. He came to Jesus at night, anonymous, not wanting people to know where he was going or not wanting even Jesus to know about his questions. In the chapters that follow, if we would read through the Gospel of John looking for Nicodemus, he shows up again two different times. Later we hear him speaking up to the authorities when they're judging Jesus. And Nicodemus speaks up. And later, when Jesus has died on the cross and all the disciples have fled, it's Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus who come forward to prepare Jesus' body for burial. Nicodemus was no longer in the dark, no longer hiding in the corners, no longer afraid and wanting to be anonymous. He had come to realize that he was born from above, not by his own doing, but by the love of God, who birthed him anew and gave him a life of boldness. What would it mean for us to understand that we are born of the Spirit? What if we did not hold back, but allowed the wind to take us in places that are not on our agenda? What would happen to us if we listened for God to call us forth? What would it be like if we listened for God to call out of us gifts that we didn't know that we had, that we didn't think was possible, or that we were even interested in? God calls forth life which we cannot bring on by ourselves. What might God be calling forth from us right now? A Christian education teacher? A window washer? A chili taster? What is God calling out from us that is encouraging us to be open to that untamed wind of God? Can we listen to what we have been unwilling to listen to up till now? Can we see in one another not something to critique or judge, but rather see the image of God who has given us birth? God called Abraham and Sarah from barrenness to birth, calling into existence things in their life that did not yet exist. And Sarah and Abraham were willing to trust God, moving from despair to hope, from old securities to new gifts, from death to life. Leaving what they knew to be true, they went to where they had never been, away from those familiar markings and reference points, allowing their lives to be reshaped by the one who came to them in a birth story. Abraham and Sarah stepped out into a new way of living, and they were blessed. And not only them, but they were a blessing to all of us, all nations. The invitation to Sarah and Abraham, the invitation to Nicodemus, the invitation to us comes in a birth announcement. the invitation to let go of the accounting system. That would be death for us. There is no way to make it balance in a relationship with God. God first loved us. God loves us always, urging us to a life beyond our own imagination. Such a life is not ours to figure out the how-tos or to do the right thing, but to live because of the God who breathes life into us. To be born of the wind, to be born of the Spirit, to be born anew, is to trust our life to the God who gives birth to us. To be born of the wind is to embrace the mysterious newness of God, knowing that we do not have a final hold on the Holy Spirit. To be born of the wind is to live as ones who are born of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Amen.